morning. I was scared that Malcolm would fall asleep during the sermon, so I'm glad that little beep happened, because it really is absolutely wonderful that we are still able to get together like this as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's even more wonderful when everything just sort of lines up. Like, in a way, I don't really have to give the sermon, but I worked on it, so you're going to get it. But it's wonderful that we can get together as brothers and sisters and worship and minister to God. And what I find even more astounding is that this God that we worship just loves to communicate with us. And he loves to be present with us. And his word for us today has already been spoken. It's very basic. It's very simple. And yet I think when we get it in our spirits, it's hugely profound. And in contemplating what I should preach on today, this same word kept coming back to me. And I wanted to change it because I've given a version of this message before, but every single time, didn't matter what I did, I'd come back to this. Well, I'm kind of slow in picking things up, so God needed a few other things to help me make sure that I got this message. And this final verification was what I call a lesson from a dirt devil. Excuse me a minute. A couple months ago, Norm bought me this little handheld vac. It's called Dirt Devil. I don't think the name is significant. I think it's just that I make such small messes. Anyway, this thing is always hung in our laundry room, and it's plugged in, and I needed it to suck up just a few insects, and so I did. They were dead, and I sucked them up, and then I plugged it back in, and the blue light came on, and I thought, that's good. A little bit later, I walked past, and the blue light was still on. I thought, wow, that takes a while. And then a little bit later, I walked past and blue light was still on. I thought, that's really weird. Later in the day, see, remember I'm quick, I thought, oh, that's what it is. We are supposed to stay plugged in. And we're supposed to stay so plugged in that when we have to do a job, we're ready to do it. And it doesn't matter if it's the tiniest little job, we rush back to our source and stay plugged in. So that's the lesson. But here, let me tell you about that. So we also, I discovered through my great skills with electricity, is that you do also need to be plugged into the right source. That makes a difference. And in our case, we need to know who this source is for ourselves, and also so that when we talk to others, we can refer them to the right place, to the right source. And knowing the source and staying plugged in right now seems even more important than it ever has been. To say that we're living in a tumultuous time in 2020 so far is obviously an understatement. And I think you might, like me, are probably getting sick of hearing all about this and putting the news on and sometimes just avoiding the news. But at some level, we need to know what's going on in our world. We need to know what's going on in our world so that we can pray. But the other thing is, if we believe everything that we've been taught, and they do bear, we were created for such a time as this. You are here right now because God wants you here in the world. And I think during this COVID and everything else that's happening in this crazy world, I think God is exposing our idols. He's showing us, what are you really relying on? What are you really believing in? And I think he's also teaching us something that's really significant for our mission statement, which Deb prayed, which is to know and make known the unsurpassable love of God. We sang about it this morning. We need to, as God's children, we need to be able to minister to our neighbor, our physical neighbor in our neighborhood, at work, wherever we are. We need to be able to minister to them from a place of strength and confidence in the Lord, who is our source. Jesus, when he was on earth, he gave the keys of the kingdom of God to the church. Those are some honking keys. And he gave them to us, and he said, and it's your job to now, with these keys, unlock, bring the good news, bring healing, especially now in this world that is so obviously sick. And this might sound a little melodramatic, but can you imagine if in 6 to 9 months we discovered that someone actually had the cure for COVID and never told us? We have the answer. We have the answer, and the world desperately needs to hear what we have. And it's so easy, and our enemy loves to do this, to get us sidetracked and or disheartened, and then we live a life that's a little bit out of focus, unless we, like my little dirt devil, listen to, obey, and stay plugged in to our source. Scripture has repeatedly warned us there's going to be difficult times. And in fact, it can get so hard that some of our love is going to grow cold. That's a chilling thing to think about, that our love could grow cold, but he says that. And we are called to remain at peace in our Lord. Dr. Bonnie Henry, you all know of her, she tells us to be kind, to be calm, and to be safe. Well, I was sort of chuckling about that. I thought, well, this message is sort of that message on steroids. But it's more than that. It's a deeper and much profound thing that we get to know. And this message is going to be concentrating on the to knowing God, and it lines up with all the worship songs. And the question of, well, how do we make his love known, is for each of us to do in maybe home groups on our own and work it out with our Abba, because he's placed us where he's placed us for a purpose. But to get to know, to look at this source about getting to know our God, I want to look at two passages, Psalm 46 and Mark 3. And this is actually more of a meditation than a sermon, and it's sort of like marinating. And this psalm, like so many psalms, is almost built like a sandwich. Like you got the top sandwich, then you got the filling, and then you got the bottom sandwich. And that's how Psalm 46 begins. He tells us God is our refuge and strength, and he ends with God is our refuge and strength. And in the middle, he tells us why and how that is so. Okay, so let's look at this together. You might want to put some seatbelts on, because it's pretty profound in this passage. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Those are can we keep it there for a minute, Tim? Those are powerful, powerful words. He starts off by saying, just making a declaration, a statement, God is. It's a state of being verb. This just is who he is. And who he is the beginning and the end, our refuge and strength, and a present help in trouble. He's also acknowledging then that there's trouble. Look at the trouble he talks about. Mountains falling, earth giving way, waters roaring, mountains quaking. That's powerful stuff, but he's saying in that God is and remains a refuge and strength and help in trouble. Well, we have had some storms somewhat like this, but not completely. But if you think about 2020 so far worldwide, there has been a tremendous storm, many storms. Think about the corona pandemic. And regardless of what you think about it, it has led to untold death and grief. There's been changes in work, in systems, in wealth, in world market. Countries are in lockdown. Australia began their year in a state of emergency, an entire continent in a state of emergency because of bushfires. The Iranian general, Qassem Soleimani, I practiced that one, Paul, was killed. Iran fired ballistic missiles at the American base and injured some Americans. Don't forget about the Ukrainian flight that went down into Iran and 176 passengers were killed. The United Kingdom left the European Union. The tragedy in Canada, in Nova Scotia. The death of George Floyd and all the protests and nonsense that has happened since then. Floods and weird natural disasters in China. Floods in eastern Canada. That's just some of them. That's a bit of a storm. And then, let's move in closer. Our own beloved Barry is struggling with health issues. We have had some significant losses in our church. Danny, Sandy's husband, passed away. Maureen, a longtime resident and friend of our church, passed away. Shelley and Scott lost Shelley's son to tragic death. Al and Teresa lost Teresa's son and Jeff's brother to tragic death. Then there's our own struggles, and many are dealing with exhaustion and depression. We are definitely in a time of a tremendous storm that can challenge our faith. We've got good things as well. I mean, we've got a baby. Well, Chelsea's going to do the work, but we're getting a baby in January. That's good. But there are also, it might be Norma Jane, the name. But we are also, these storms are happening, and Scripture tells us for us to absolutely remember, and it insists that still in every one of those storms, God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Well, what does that mean, and what does that actually look like? So now, Tim, if we could have the next slide. The psalmist continues, and this first section refers to a city that's a fortress, so they have inside rivers, so they're safer. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Notice, God will not prevent it. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. That's messed. That's messed up. But by contrast, in verse 7, the psalmist says, but the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then come some verses that are relatively more uncomfortable. The psalmist says, come and see. Come, check this out. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's wrought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the shields with fire. And here's where we can struggle. Because how can this loving God that we hear about, how can he cause desolation on one hand and yet bring peace on the other? And many of us struggle with that tension. There's all kinds of controversies. There's endless discussions. And I don't think on this side of the pearlies we'll ever understand. I think what's important to remember, if I could have the next slide, Tim, is what God himself says. So this isn't the prophetic word. This is God himself says to us, remember, you guys, remember my people, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And neither are your ways my ways. And he's giving us an analogy. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's some description of us maybe not comprehending, maybe not being able to understand everything completely. And Paul says in Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the wisdom and of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. We sang some amazing words that described our God. Look at this that talks about how he thinks, the riches of the wisdom of knowledge, unsearchable. That is our source. That is who we are plugged in. What we know, we might not understand a lot of this, but we know that God has a master plan, that he's orchestrating it, and right now he wants you part of it for such a time as this. J.I. Packer, a well-known and loved theologian, used to regularly say in class, I don't always know how, or I don't always know why, but I know that. I don't always know how it works. I don't always know why it's happening, but I know that God is in charge. And if I could have the slide with a psalm back on it. This one, God himself says, so all this tumultuous stuff is happening, he's describing it, and then God himself intervenes in this psalm, and God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be still. And I want you to know that I'm God. And guess what? I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And the psalmist has to say again, the Lord Almighty is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. And that's how he wants us to live in these storms, with those incredible bookends. And I'd like now to look at a New Testament example of where we see that. And this is the really well-known story about Jesus calming the storm. Tim, could I have that slide with just the picture? This is, all those other ones were the Sea of Galilee faded. This is the Sea of Galilee. Where this has taken place, and Norm and I got to take this picture because we were there. But anyway, I just wanted you to see it, so cool. So before we get into this passage of Jesus calming the storm, I want to just look at the setting for a minute. This is the end of an amazing day with Jesus. They've been teaching, he's been ministering. So far, the disciples, and see if you can feel what that would be like. So far, the disciples have seen the kingdom of God in action. They've seen Jesus healing all kinds of diseases. They saw him driving out demons. He healed a man with leprosy, and they saw a paralytic walk. Like, I mean, they must be so pumped. And then they saw some amazing teachings and participated in discussions, including the parable of the sower and of the mustard seed. Just good stuff to chew on. And then they saw Jesus takes a stance against the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're probably beginning to understand what this kingdom of God is all about. Well, that would be a huge faith-building time. And now at the end of the day, they're getting into the boat. Jesus is going to take a nap. The guys get to debrief and talk about what they saw. And what do you think about that? What do you think about that? So let's see what actually happens. So if we could have that passage now. So that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" So they've gone from this mountaintop experience to this. Without warning, apparently in the Sea of Galilee, because of those mountains and tunnels, it's pretty common. But this was such a severe squall that seasoned fishermen were afraid. So that had to be a severe squall. And they were so scared they had to get Jesus involved. So Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and he says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. And then he says to the disciples, "So why were you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And we sang that this morning. And it's fascinating to think about and spend some time on this, looking at different responses to the exact same storm. The disciples who have just been with Jesus and had all this miraculous time are filled with fear. They're scared for their lives, and they basically accuse Jesus of indifference. "You're sleeping? Don't you care?" Well, our storms can be very much like that. 2020 is almost like that, that the storm is so big, and what happens then is our focus is on the storm. Our focus is on the storm. It can be the mountains falling, the earth giving way, the waves roaring, the actual physical squall the disciples were in. In our case, COVID-19 and what that's going to mean, our bills, our work, our health, our study, our family, our relationships. We can just get so focused on that if we don't say the words, our attitude show, "God, don't you care? Aren't you going to do something?" And watching how Jesus responds to his disciples tells you how he responds to us as well. The exact same storm, and Jesus is sleeping. Now, he might have been tired, obviously, from ministering, but I think it says something more about his character and his faith, because when he woke up, he didn't go into shock, like, "Oh my goodness, you should have woke me earlier." He didn't do that, right? He stayed calm. He's not concerned about this exact same wind. He's not concerned about the exact same waves. That's just external stuff. That's Psalm 46. He knows that. God's got that covered. In the middle of the storm, he's still. And he knows that God's God. And that, I think, completely dictated how he responded. He knew that he still had work to do. But as Dallas Willard points out, even if the boat sank, he did know that God was in control and he was perfectly at peace. And what happened next is, I believe, a direct result of his relationship with his Abba and because he did know his Father. He gets up, and he rebukes the winds and the waves, and he says, "Peace, be still." Basically, be still and know that I'm God, not you guys. Now, it would be so neat to know what Jesus was thinking. Like when he got up, he woke up, they woke up, and he saw the storm, and he saw his disciples and all their big eyes. He knew what he was going to do. And I wonder how excited he was about what this would do for his disciples. Like, "Oh, I can't wait to see these guys' face when this storm goes over." Like, I don't know. We don't know, but it's fun to think about. What we do know is Jesus spoke, and the elements obeyed, and it became perfectly calm. Can you imagine the silence? Can you imagine the peace? Can you imagine what was happening in their bodies, their hearts, their minds? And then Jesus looks at his disciples, and this is very important because that's what he does with us too. He looks at us and he says, "So what's happening? Why are you so scared? What's happening with your faith life?" And Jesus' response is not, "You stupid disciples, you should have known better, or you've been watching me." What he does is he encourages them to look at him get their eyes off the storm, look at him, and remember everything that he has done, everything they've witnessed, everything that they've participated in, participated with him in, and then to be still and just know that they're God. They needed to know in the depth of their beings that God was first and last. This is that sandwich thing, their fortress and strength, their very present help in trouble. Because if you think about it, Jesus, before he went down for a nap, he could have talked to his father and said, okay, I'm going to have a nap now. Can you keep things nice and calm so the boys can sail over and have a nice little discussion about how great things are? He didn't. This storm was allowed to happen. And the disciples' response was holy awe. Who is this? Wind and sky obey him. And they were absolutely dumbfounded. They were dumbfounded. These are guys who saw healings, who saw demoniacs healed, that he saw paralytics walking, and they were dumbfounded because they hadn't seen this before. Who is this? And Graham Cook says a very good question for us to ask God is, what is it you want to be for me now that you couldn't be for me before? What is it you want to be for me now that you couldn't be for me before? What did these disciples need to know? What did they need to learn? They read Psalm 46. They probably had it memorized. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help and helpful, therefore I will not fear. They probably read it. They could probably say it. But they needed to know in a way different depth of their being who this was. They were pretty soon going to be sent out. They had to witness Jesus crucified, and then they were going to be sent out. They were going to be going out to make known this unsurpassable love of God. And they would be having horrendous storms, including persecution and all kinds of other things. And they needed to know this right there. And I think it's important for us to think about. By taking us through this storm in 2020 and future storms, because it's not going to necessarily get better, what is it God wants you to know about him? What is it he wants you to know about yourself that you couldn't know before and that you can know by going through this? We're in a time of unprecedented storms with people more desperate than ever before. Suicide rates, all kinds of weird rates have gone way up. They're desperate to know the love of God, to know that unsurpassable love, and to experience him as their fortress and their strength. The world urgently needs that message. Our job is to stay so focused and tuned into our Abba that we can make that known and come back to him. Make it known and come back to him. We need to know, and I'm very bad at this, we need to know how to be still. We need to know. Jesus told the disciples in John 15 to remain. Well, how do you actually do that? That sounds good. But how do you actually do that when you go home? I think as we go through storms, we need to do what the disciples did. We need to go through them. We need to have our eyes open. And we need to get to know our Abba deeper and deeper in the middle of that storm. We need to see and actually experience it. That means we have to spend time with him, to talk with him and listen to him. We need to spend time in Scripture. Because there's so much in here about what he does and what he's going to do and how we handle it. It's so rich. You can never mine this whole thing. So we need to spend time in that, in worship and in prayer. We need to remember what he has done, what he's done for you, what he's done for others in history. And we need to practice his presence. We need to really help one another and ourselves be still and know that God is God. We need to encourage one another. And I'd like to that end, share a story, and I've been given permission to use these people's names. I'd like to share a story of a testimony of our Sandy, who is going through and is weathering a severe storm right now, because this story has really witnessed to me. I'm not good at storms. As soon as there's a bit of a wave increase, I get my binoculars and start looking for white caps or run to Norm or chocolate or something. But that's not what this recommendation is. This is be still and know. So in May, our Sandy lost her husband after 51 years of life together. She and Danny got to know Jesus at the same time, and from that day on, they worshiped, they prayed, and they served together. Their lives were incredibly and very happily enmeshed. For 6+ years, they sailed around the world as evangelists. They brought the gospel. They saw people healed via the mercy ships. And then last year, they moved from Reed Island to Campbell River, and they were really eager to find out what ministry the Lord had in store for them. How could they continue letting the world know, the dying world, dying Campbell River, know about God's unsurpassable love? But in May, actually on Mother's Day, Danny went to the hospital very sick, and he passed away within 2 weeks. That's a very tumultuous, painful storm to go through. And what's interesting is, like the disciples, Sandy and Danny saw and experienced miracles. They got to facilitate that. They got to see people healed, people saved over and over and over again. But in this particular storm of Danny's illness, Jesus didn't stand up. And he didn't command healing, even though many of us asked for it. And Sandy, although she's in deep, deep pain, she stays close to the Lord. It is such testimony. She said she never really prayed or worshiped on her own because they got saved together. And now for the first time, when he was in the hospital, she had to. And she wants to. And she does. A few weeks ago, when we were having chocolate together, I asked her how she's experienced Jesus through this time of intense grief. And she said, couldn't believe, she says, I know a deeper joy now than I've ever known before. She's experiencing that in that storm. She continues to remain, to pray, to worship, to read his word, and her pain is, and in her pain, she still knows and never doubts that God is God, that his ways and thoughts are so much higher than hers, and his timing is perfect. He's her refuge and strength, and she makes that known in her relationships and in her neighborhood. Danny and Sandy were both so in love with the Lord. And people in our congregation, when we saw them together, we said that. Like, they were in love with each other, but they were in love with the Lord. And she didn't know that it could be even deeper than it was. But now it is. Even in the pain, even in the storm. She says she has a depth of a joy that she has never known before. I like sitting beside her because I just want some of that to wash over me. But that is what riding the storm in full trust is. That is being still and knowing that God is God. Sandy, thank you for letting me share the story. I know it was difficult. We need those stories. We have some men in our church, Paul and Lee and Matt, for example, and I did get the permission, who are going through tremendous physical and medical issues. And you listen to their stories and you think, how can you handle that? But all three of them are closer to the Lord, are driven to the Lord more than ever before. When we think about Shelley and Scott and Al and Teresa and Jeff and Jess and everything they had to go through, they are hanging on to the Lord. They are remaining in him. We are in a storm. There's going to be many more. But God remains our refuge and strength. And he wants us to know and experience something of him that you haven't before. You cannot know it without going through this storm. And that's scary, but it's also really exciting. Can you imagine running around with the kind of joy that Sandy has? That's the kind of stuff God wants to do for us. And what he asks of us is so simple and so difficult. But it says, be still, know, remain, and make this message known. Deb said when she prayed that we needed to take this message further. Well, I have some homework for you. At the back, Gloria has them. It's two-sided in your case. But there are meditations on this passage and on John 15 that I would encourage you to go through. I had two people test it to make sure it worked. Gloria came through with flying colors. The other person, not so much. But please feel free to pick one up, and if there's extra, take them for your home group. So this is our message for the Lord. And Tim, could we have the final slide. Do you guys want to do a song yet? Yeah, okay. So as the worship team comes up, I'm going to ask you to please stand. And I took some of the words out, and I want to read this. I want each of us to read this as our declaration to the Lord. And this is always a process, right? Because we come and go, but this is a process. We're declaring this to the Lord, and then the worship team will close us in a final song. Okay? Everybody's ready with your full voices? Okay, let's go. God, you are our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. You say, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And let me just lead you in a prayer before we worship. Father God, you are so amazing. All those words we sang about you before, and this psalm doesn't even begin to describe how unbelievable you are and your incredible love for us. Father, many of us here are going through tremendous storms and will be going through storms. And Lord, we proclaim that you are our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. We thank you for those in our midst who have been examples and who are examples for us, Lord God. Help us to encourage one another to not run away, but to learn what it is that you have for us. And so, Lord, by faith we receive this message, and we thank you that you are our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Amen.
Wow, thanks so much, Jane. That was awesome.